men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change condition, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. I want to welcome every one of you to service tonight. You must understand that our God is deserving of our praise. Especially in this season, He has just been so faithful. He said they lifted up their eyes unto Him. They were not ashamed. Such a privilege, such a honor to serve a God who is faithful. Amen. I welcome you to service tonight. I want to appreciate everyone that have come for service tonight, especially those that are here on site and then those that are following online. Amen. I want to appreciate our ministers, pastors and ministry assistants that God has been using to preserve this house. Can we celebrate the Lord? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Tonight, I want to try to round up the discussion we started at the beginning of the month. It was an extension from the previous month. We're looking at the renewal of the mind. And then we began to extensively attend to lack consciousness, renewing the mind from the fear and consciousness of lack. I think this is part five. It's going to be the concluding part. I'll try to compress a lot of things. Please, I want to beg you, as a minister, it's not all the time you get to teach and then your message is impacting your own life. You see, this is one of the series that I can say God has been using to speak to me, not just only to you, to also to me. I want to challenge everyone. If you are just listening to it or you have listened to it before, I want to challenge you to get the series and listen to them repeatedly. If you can digest, ingest, and apply what is said herein, you will see God move mightily in your affairs. Glory to God. So today we want to pick up and also we want to round up. Let's turn our Bibles quickly to the book of Luke. I'm going to be reading Luke chapter 12. We'll read from verse 15 downward from the NLT Bible. Luke 12 verse 15. Want to read, everybody. Then he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Verse 16. Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what shall I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Next verse. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I will sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? 21. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Are we there? Let's start from verse 6. We're going to read from verse 6 down to verse 11. There's so much in that verse of scripture. Let's read. One to read, everybody. Yet, true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Why? After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So, if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. Is it for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil? And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrow. Last verse 11. He said, but you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Father, thank you for your word. We understand that the entrance of your word brings light and understanding. We bow before you, great mighty God. We understand how loving you are. And we understand the instrumentation of your loveliness. One of it is your word. He said he sent his word. His word healed them from all their oppression. We understand that your word is efficacious. Your word is powerful. And so, Lord, I bow to the preeminence of your word. And I'm asking that your word will sit in the heart of your people. Let this teaching, let it be life transforming. Let it be revolutionary in the mighty name of Jesus. I break every stronghold. I want to stand against the sweet preeminence of your word. The spirit of religion, the spirit of misunderstanding. Every veil is removed from the heart of the hearers. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray that the anointing that makes your words to be free flowing will rest upon me. Help me to communicate profound truth to the people so that they will be instructed, they will be enlightened, and they will be built up. And then Jesus himself will be glorified. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Renewing the mind from the fear and consciousness of lack. I'm going to bypass a few things and make you to understand that the Lord does not want you at any point in time to be scared. Let's take some time to look at fear. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. The Bible says that we are not fearful slaves. He said, but we have received the spirit of adoption, wherein we cry, Abba, Father. One of the things that salvation brings us out from is the orphan mindset. The orphan mindset is the mindset that tells you that, number one, there is not enough to take care of you. Number two, there is not enough to go around. Number three, you don't even deserve enough. You must know this, that the orphan mindset leaves you at the crumbs. The peripheral, just get little and then you are okay. One of the things that the fall left with mankind is the orphan spirit. The orphan spirit is very, very synonymous with the spirit of fear. So one of the reasons people store wealth is because they have tasted poverty by chance. They don't want to taste it again. You must know this, that if you have ever been rich before, you don't want to be poor. If you have ever been poor before and you became rich, you don't want to be poor again. So you must know this, that these thoughts is what generates a lot of atrocities. And like I've always mentioned, they were all side effects of the fall of man. So let's look at some of the side effects. Number one is work consciousness. You become driven by work. You always want to work, because God told Adam that for you to eat, you must toil. Number two is greed. Is greed. And that was where I stopped the last time. So let's look at some of the side effects of the fear and consciousness of lack. It's because, okay, the consciousness of lack has its bearing in the orphan mindset. You are living your life like one who have no caregiver. You are living your life like one who has a poor father. You are living your life like one who don't deserve to be treated well. So all of these, because it's a fear. And one of the things man does to fear is to want to prevent that thing you fear from happening. Are you understanding that? You don't want it to happen. You want to try not to allow it to happen. So in order to try not to allow that lack to happen, are you with me now? Man began to drift into certain negative effects. And then number one, like I said, man became work driven. If you want to get more on that, you can go to part 3 or thereabout. Number 2, man became greedy. And then today, we want to look at the 3rd. Man began to hoard. Man began to hoard. It was because man feared that what he had may not go round. So he began to what? To hoard. To hoard. What does it mean to hoard? Let's go back to Luke 12 verse 19. Let's see what the rich man began to say. Everybody, let's read it together. He said, I will sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for what? So now take it easy. Don't toil anymore. Are you with me? That's where hoarding came. Why is it that sometimes as a believer, you have money accounts or you have plenty of shoes or plenty of clothes, and God is telling you, give out this, give out that, and then you know, the reason why you don't want to give is because you don't want to get there and realize that it's not available. Are we together? You don't want to finish buying food stuff in the market and realize that you've not bought enough food stuff. So that's why we keep money. That's why we hold back. But let me tell you why we actually do that. Everybody say the fallen nature. You are not responding well. Say the fallen nature. So he said, now you have enough to what? Enough stored. You see, the consciousness of storing is a byproduct of the orphan mentality. Let me give you an example. If you stay in an apartment where water flows 24/7, I mean, there is never a time you open your tap and water is not available. Raise your head. If you live in that kind of apartment, you will not see need to buy big drum and jerry cans. Are we here? Am I communicating? If you are the kind of person that stays in a house where, let's take for example, you are staying in a compound where there are 4 tanks and you are just 4 tenants, hey, you know that you will not see need. In fact, if you have this 120-liter drum or 200-liter drum or 500-liter, you might even dash it out. You will not see need of it. Now, why? Because you don't have any fear that there will not be water. Because after all, my landlord has a big gen. I mean, even when it looks like there is no light for a long period of time, you have stayed in that house for weeks and for months. There have never been a time you open your tap and water stops flowing. You won't have need to go and be buying drums. And secondly, you will need to drag a paint rubber water with your roommates. Are we together? So you must know this. That mentality to always want to hoard. To always want to hoard. Especially more than is met. It is not a godly lifestyle. It is as a result of that fear that this water not go reach. I feel one wash clothes now. You know, you are the type that stores clothes. You can wear clothes for like 2 weeks and you use 2 days to wash it. You know, if you know, you have a lot of things to do with water, but the water is not reliable. Now, in order to handle the reliability, what do you now do? You now buy kegs. You now buy bigger rubbers and then get them filled up. So that even though NEPA takes light, you know what you tell yourself now? You can even be boasting to your friends, the water I have, even if I wash all my clothes, it will still remain. It is that mentality that makes people to keep, to store, to hoard. Let's look at Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11 verse 24 to 26. Proverbs 11 verse 24. Let's read it from the New King James. He said, there is one who scatters, yet increases more. He said, and there is one who what? Withholds more than is right. You know, when we talk about storing, so people say, is it that we should not keep, I should not have water to use in case of rainy day, or I should not have money to use in case of raining? You see, there is nothing wrong in keeping money aside. But there is so much wrong is in keeping more than is right. So the rightness of storing is when you now store, for example, let me give you an instance. He stores so much water in his bedroom And then he comes and says, I have not taken my bath since yesterday. Can I get a bucket of water to bath? Ah, no. You see, the water when I get, you know, you're not going to even reach me. Now, do you know what you have done? You have kept more than is what? Right. The Lord said, don't turn your eyes away from those that are in what? In need. Did you see it now? So, where this hoarding mindset is wrong. Hoarding, that's why hoarding is different from saving. Hoarding is different from safekeeping. Hoarding is keeping, let me give you what hoarding is, three things. It's keeping, guiding, and not releasing. That's just what it means. Because, for example, if I save money, why do I save it? It's so I could use it. So I can give it out. That's why God wants us to be prudent with our finances. Believers, listen to me. God wants to bless you so that when there is need, you can respond to it. Are we together? Are we following? It is not the will of God for you to have more than you need and not give to those that are in need. Write that down. It is not the will of God for you to have more than you need and not be able to give to those in need. It's not God's will. So that's why. Now look at what it says. Let's read the next verse. He said in verse 25. Let's look at 25. He said, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Give it to us in NIV. We'll look at it from three translations. He said, a generous man will what? Will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Say with me, I will not hoard. It is foolishness for a believer to hoard. I mean, how do you do it? You have 5-6 packs of noodles or spag, and then somebody is in need of just one. And you are telling the person, I've already planned it, that this is what I'm eating throughout this week. You are foolish. It's not godly. Don't justify it with anything. That's what God is telling you. You are holding more than is what is meant. We are not saying gather all the five, cook and throw party. No. You have five, for example, and someone needs just, someone is hungry. And then now comes to you. And then the spiritual sister that you are, you now prayed for her. Great grace abound to you. It's wickedness. It's not godliness. Are we understanding what I'm saying? So that mindset of, I can't give it out, is from the Adamic nature. It's from the orphan spirit. Living that kind of life and lists you among the orphans. For you to have something and someone is in need of it and not help the person, it's not godliness. Let's check something in Galatians. We'll come back here, but let's check something in Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Let's read verse 10. He said, therefore, as we now believers have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who what? Who belong to the family of believers. He said, as we have the what? The opportunity. Don't store your goodness. Don't store kindness. Distribute it. Let's go back to James. Are we getting something so far? Let's turn to James chapter 2, let's start reading from verse 14. Renewing your mind. Say, my mind is renewed from hoarding. So take note of these scriptures. If you are the type that still struggles to help people, to give where you have, you see, you are here and that's the level you are. Don't condemn yourself. We were once there. We were once there because some of us, we came out from poor family. We came from poor background. So we never had enough. And the little we have, we hide it so that it can spread, can carry us for some days because we don't know when the next will come. And most times, that's when the next doesn't come. Because scripturally, it is the generous soul that prospers. So in God's climb, in God's realm, the people that have much are the people that give more. Are you understanding it? The people that have much are the people that give more. So the secret of much is giving more. These are not some old wives' fables. These are scriptures. He said, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith? NLT. He said, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Let's look at the next verse, verse 15. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing. You know, scripture always talk about food and clothing. For those of you that wants to live above greed, start with food and what? And clothing. Some of you are waiting for when you have plenty of money in your account. No, don't start from there. Start with food and clothing. Start from there. He said, and you say goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? He said, so you see, faith by itself is not what? Enough, unless it produces good deed. It is dead and useless. Next verse. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. He said, but I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith. He said, I'm still in 19. I will show you my faith by my good deeds. What is faith? Faith is trusting God. So you know what he's trying to tell you? He say, one of the ways you show you are trusting God is helping a brother in need of what you already have. Are we here? That's how the kingdom life is lived. I'm not saying what you don't have. Oh, you have it. Me, you have shoes in your wardrobe and then you have stewards in church that don't have any. And you can't walk up to any and say, can this shoe size you? Okay, take this. Are you with me? And then to now have a brother or a sister who is really hungry. By chance, he opens his mouth to tell you you are hungry. Sometimes you can even give him the one you have. So see the next thing. He said, now look at verse 19. He said, you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. Verse 20. He said, how foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? 21. So he started talking about how Abraham, what I showed you last week. So, a believer that have faith will not hoard. Are we together? Will not hold back. A believer that has faith will not hold back. Will not hold back. A believer, let's look at Proverbs 19, verse 17. Proverbs 19, verse 17. He said, if you help the poor, give it to us in Amplified. He said, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and that which he has given, he will repay to him. Let me tell you something as believers. One of the easiest ways to come into prosperity is to give to the needy. I'm not talking about beggars. You know, this verse of scripture, when we quote it, we always look at beggar. You squeeze 5 naira, give beggar, you expect, say, may God. No, that's not what we are saying. There's a principle here. The needy. How do you do that? The church comes and says, there are some people who are trusting God for their school fees. God has blessed you. Send money so that we can help. Now, those people that are trusting God for school fee, they are what? Needy. Those people that have not eaten. Celebration service. Bring what you have. Let's share with people. Some people come to celebration service because they don't have breakfast. And don't condemn them. That's the purpose of celebration service. So that they can take breakfast at least once a week. Once a month, as it were. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's start reading from verse 10 now. Okay, let's start from 5. Say, I will not hoard. I will not hold back. Say, I will not hoard. I will not hold back. He said, for God, I said 5, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 5. So hoarding is a mentality of fallen man. And I've given you the reason why people hoard. The reason why people hoard is because even that one they got, now sweat they take get them. They don't know when the next one go what? Go come. So let's check this. God himself, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 5. He says, so I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift, not one giving what? Grudgingly. That grudge is from the Adamic nature. Have you seen a night called Evo come? Yesterday, one Evo get food, you don't know, say go come. This food I don't cook. Plan say go carry me richness tomorrow. Now, I won't come short my ration. Oh, let me share us giving. Should be pastor say we should be giving. That's grudge. Grudgingly. Let it come out as a lifestyle, like breathing. Let it come out like breath. When you're giving becomes as easy as breathing, prosperity becomes a guarantee. So give willingly. So what he now said? He said, verse 6, quickly, let's make it fast. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seed, we get a what? A small crop. He said, but the one who plants what? Generously, we get a generous crop. So look up now. You can increase your generosity. It can be increased. Are we together? You can start with giving clothes, giving food, and then increase it to making more food available. You can now program it. It can be something you now do monthly. You now say, every month, I will make sure I feed so number of people. Intentional. Say with me, my generosity can increase. So what it simply implies is that you become a what? A distributor. Did you see that? You become, provision comes in. So as provision comes, you increase your channels. You get that? Did you see that? So as God is bringing, what's happening? They are finding direction. So as you begin to do this, now you notice you can choose to be this. You can choose to be this. You can choose to be this. But God does not want us to be this. God wants us to be this. If you are this level of Christianity, you are still under the orphan spirit. It's the hoarding mentality. Glory to God. Say with me, I will be generous. So we'll get that. So if you read that 2 Corinthians down, you begin to see where the apostle begin to talk about increasing your generosity. Let's look at 7. Let's pick them now. He said, you must each decide in your heart how much to what. He was talking about a particular kind of giving. He said, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Verse 8. He said, when you do that, God, did you now see it? Will generously. Because your generosity is a sign of faith towards God. The same God that said the land is going to be for toiling, that same God you've lended enough to by your giving. So now, see, this thing is divine. That's why you notice some people, it is not sweat that is bringing their increase. There is a difference between labor and favor. There is a difference between blessing and income. Income is what you get. Blessing is what you release from what you get that God returns back to you. And you know, in apparently I read something on, was it Twitter or something some days ago, that a central bank has increased interest rates to about 18%. So now, if central bank, you give central bank money to keep for you after a period, they give you 18% of it. Now imagine if you give it to God. Just imagine the percentage increase God will give to you. Don't hoard it. Use it to do godly business. Are you following me? Use it to do what? Godly business. Help people and allow God to increase the fruit of your, he said, increase the fruit of your righteousness. He said, then, I like the effects. Glory to God. He said, then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Glory to God. I defeat hoarding. I get rid of it. He said, then, I like the consequences. I mean, these are some of the effects you will always have. Now, look at some of the benefits. One, God will provide. Not the person you gave. He said, he that shows mercy on the needy lends to his maker. The Bible says in Galatians 6, he said, you will reap what you sow, not where you sow. So stop getting angry that I didn't say thank you for the food you gave me. Teach me gratitude, but don't look at me to get your benevolence back. Because each time you give to me, who do you give to? You give to God. Matthew 25, verse 45. Let's read it up. Come back here. Well, let's go to Matthew 25, verse 45. What did the Bible say? 40 or 45? Any of the two. Quick. He said, and he will answer, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers, you will be refusing to what? To help me. Give us 40. He said, 40. 40. So he said, when you do this to the least of my brothers, he said, you have what? You have done it to me. Who is there? Matthew 25, verse 40. He said, and the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you were doing it to me. You see, one of the areas you need to renew your mind, we are talking about renew your mind from the consciousness of lack. Let me tell you something as a believer. Renew your mind from expecting those who you show kindness to in church to reciprocate it. Now, if that's your motive for showing kindness, you are still living as an orphan. Renew your mind from it. Get into that state where you can tell yourself, this thing I'm doing, I am doing it as unto the Lord. That's why some of you say, hey, but pastor, I've been giving now, I've been helping people, I've been giving people clothes, but I'm giving people food. And when I'm hungry, I don't get to see anybody to give me food. Now, that's the problem. Because when you give people food, you expect people to give you food. Let me tell you how you do it. When you give people food, you expect God to give you food. So you give to men, but you fix your eyes on God. So in his own discretion, he can use somebody you know to what? To help you. And sometimes he can use a stranger to help you. Glory to God. So I will stop counting my good in the direction of the beneficiaries. That's why in the kingdom, you don't go do good to people and then you carry a camera and then you are snapping and you are showing the public. You are doing it for public. Glory to God. One of the things we will not publish as a church is the people that we help. We're not going to publish that. No way. Jesus already told us in Matthew, I think Matthew, is it Matthew 6 or Matthew 7? He said, when you do kindness, do it where? In secret. When you give alms, give in secret. Is that okay? He said, and then the God who sees in secret will reward you in the open. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. He said, verse 2, Matthew 6, verse 2, when you give a gift to someone in need, don't shout about it. Don't be an hypocrite. Don't drift into hypocrisy. He said, they blow their trumpets. He said, I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. Now, let me tell you something. You need to renew your mind, believers. When you keep talking about the good you do, that's the reward you get. That's why when you need help, nobody helps you. You must renew your mind. Stop getting angry at your pastor, at ministers, at your friends. Upon all I've done for him, upon all I've done for her. Now, if you keep, now that's one side. Two, don't publicize your act of kindness. I mean, you meet some people. I mean, sometimes it's even when they are offended, they will just start talking, and that one doesn't even. And this. I mean, that's why you stay poor. Yes, you give, but you are poor. You've preached the principle. You've gotten your reward already. So sometimes get to that point as a believer. Yes, don't hoard. Don't blow your trumpet. Stay in the middle. Don't hoard. Give. Don't blow your trumpet. Because he didn't say, he who shows pity on the poor will receive help from the poor. What did a poor man get when one will give you? He said, don't blow your trumpets. Verse 3. He said, but when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Verse 4. Give your gift in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Sees it. Sister, I speak God's word to you. You have helped a lot of people. Don't worry. God will show up. Amen. They mocked you. They ridicule you. Please don't be tempted to blow your trumpets. Don't be tempted. Because the moment you start blowing your trumpet, that's the reward. So God will not show up to give you anything again. Because you have blown your what? Your trumpet. Are we together? Don't blow your trumpet. Acts of Apostles chapter 10 verse 3. The Bible told us of a man called Cornelius. He was giving alms, and then God showed up one day and then told him, Cornelius, the angel said, verse 4, he said, what is it, sir? He asked, your prayers and gifts to the poor, kabuda kata, dito si kaya to siada, add giving to your prayers, add helping people to your prayers. He said, your prayers and gift to the poor have been received to God as an offering. A vast, New King James said, as a memorial. Give it to us. He said, your prayers and your hands have come up for a memorial before God. Brothers and sisters, God retains your good works. He keeps record of it. In the world, they told you God keep record of your sin, but I'm telling you today, He keep record of your good gift, your good deeds. Keep doing it. Don't stop doing it. Keep doing it. They abused you the last time. Increase it. Keep doing it. That voice of the devil wanting you to accept the abuse as a stop is the voice of your village people to block your prosperity. Don't listen to it. Shut your eyes away from it. Whoever is telling you to stop doing good to people, that person is trying to stop your prosperity. What did Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 says? Quickly, let's check it. Verse 9. Galatians 6 verse 9. He said, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. If, meaning, look up, your good gift, the reaping is conditional, is predicated on your unwillingness to become weary. So say with me, I will not be weary. I don't know. You see, one of the sources of weariness is hardship. It's just like now. You know, things are a bit hard. Some people have stopped giving. Is a lie from the pit of hell. Listen, if things are hard and your giving reduces, what will happen? They will be harder. Glory to God. So now that things are hard, have God stopped blessing us? In fact, I don't know about you, but for me, in these last few weeks, that things tend to be so hard, I think or I know that I've given to God more. It's a decision I made. Because that's the secret of overcoming hardship. Don't live like the people of the world. Live as one whose mind has been what? Has been renewed. And then, I don't know, trying to see how I can round this thing up. But God will help me. Now, work-driven, greedy, man began to hurt. Now let's look at another thing that came as a result of the fall. That's not everything. And then anxiety and worries. So these are the side effects of lack of consciousness. You must understand that as mankind became bedeviled, became faced with the insufficiency in his own capacity, man began to determine ways to respond to the current challenges. So one of the ways man responded was to begin to hoard. Another way man responded is anxiety and worries. How do you feel when you realize that the money in your account is beginning to reduce? I mean, how do you feel when you realize that your foodstuff is beginning to finish, is beginning to go down? And how do you feel when you wake up and you don't even have what to eat? Tell your neighbor, renew your mind. Live in the consciousness that God can be depended on. Live in that consciousness. Don't be anxious. Philippians. Let's read Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. You see, as a believer, this is not the time to speak in tongues. This is the time to tell God, make provision for my meals. It's not a wrong prayer to pray. You see, some of you don't know how to ask God to meet your needs. There are some things. You see, I told you on Saturday that you can start a faith test, a faith stretching test. Start it. Go back home, write down 5 things, and tell God, God, I'm going to stretch my faith for you to do these 5 things for me. Things, so not souls, not spirituality. I mean things that your faith can carry. Write them down and pray. You will see God meeting them. God can be trusted. Psalm 23 said, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, I shall not want. The Lord is my what? Shepherd. I shall not want. Makes me to... There's a verse of scripture that I like so much. Psalm 34 verse 10. A verse of scripture I like so much. See what he said? He said, the young lions lack and suffer hunger. He said, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Thing. Isn't it amazing that we seek his kingdom, spirituality, and then in return he gives us what? Things, physicality. God can take care of you. I mean, who told you that you must need to dupe people for you to survive? Who told you that? It's a lie. You can't survive on that. Because you may have things, but you won't have peace. You won't have joy. You won't have righteousness. You will be scared. I mean, small headache, you will think that one witch is running after your life. Who told you? Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. He said, and the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Convert your passion for money to your trust in God. Turn it over to God. He said, for the love of money, he said, and some people craving money, he said, I've wandered from the true faith and pierce themselves with sorrow. I like 9 and 10 for me, please. 9 and 10. I like 9 and 10. He said, but people who long to be rich. Wealth. Let me look up. Raise your head. Let me tell you this. There are 3 parts to wealth. Number 1, wealth is an inheritance. Number 2, wealth is a consequence.
And then number three, wealth is an entrustment. You need to understand what true riches is. You don't become wealthy by salary. No. You don't even become wealthy by doing business. No. Those are income. It is what you do with that income that will determine whether you are what? Wealthy. So you get wealth by inheritance. For example, the wealth of Jacob, the wealth of Esau, the wealth of the 12 tribes of Israel, they were inheritance. Amen. They were inheritance. How do I know they were inheritance? Check your Bible, Deuteronomy 8 verse 18. For it is I, the Lord, that gave you power to make wealth. Proverbs 10, I think 24, if I'm not mistaken, it said, the blessings of the Lord make rich and does not have sorrow. Did you see that? Proverbs 10:22. The blessings of God. So that is the inheritance dimension of wealth. So the wealth that will last is the wealth that starts from who? From who? From God. Because he's the one that has riches in his hands. Glory to God. How many of you know God has riches in his hands? I told you from the beginning of this series, go and get the beginning. He created you to lavish his wealth on you. But how you come into that wealth has been affected by the fall. So man's mind has been what? Distorted. So to some people, the path to wealth is more work. More work. Let me give you an instance. There's a book, I think the author, what's his name, Robert Kiyosaki used to say it. People say, if you want to be wealthy, you must do hard work. And then the hardest work to do is to dig ground. Dig ground. That's the hardest work to do. Break rock. So I tell you, okay, go and start breaking rock. Are you going to be rich by that? No. Do you understand? So, hard work is not the only secret to wealth. Wealth has a starting point. Wealth has a result. And then wealth has a passage. So the starting point of wealth, give us Deuteronomy 8 verse 18, is to trust God. That's the starting point. And then you go to God. For example, you want to really be rich, go to God tonight and say, God, truly, I believe that you are the custodian of wealth. And I believe you can make any man wealthy. So Lord, open my understanding to how you empower people to become wealthy. Just pray that prayer. God is the giver of wealth. He said, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. In order to fulfill the covenant. The Bible says in Zechariah, if I'm not mistaken, he said, true prosperity is my kingdom spread abroad. So God gave the tribe of Jacob, the tribe of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob wealth so that they can preserve his covenant. Jesus Christ coming. So that gives you the second aspect of wealth. Wealth is a consequence. Tell your neighbor, wealth is a consequence. As a result of. So what are the three dimensional consequences of wealth? I'm renewing your mind now. I'm trashing the end point of this series. Most of you have been saying, hey, boss, hey, all this you have been saying, hey, is it that wealth is only just spiritual? Listen to this. There is a spiritual dimension to wealth. Deny it at your own peril. Let me give you an example. I can go to a Dibia. I can go to a priest this night and sacrifice something and give me 2 weeks, I will be so wealthy. Is it possible? So meaning that there is a spiritual what? Dimension to wealth. So wealth is an inheritance. Do you know that you can go to all courts? In those days, the Ogoni people, they used to be the richest. Some join Ogoni to be rich. Some join Ogoni to preserve their riches. Now, if you go to the marine world, they can give you wealth.
But they won't give you wealth for keep. They will give you wealth to advance their cause. For example, let's look at how occultic people, those that do ritual, sustain their wealth. Some of them, they tell them some things they must do. Sleep with virgins. Get their pads, their menstrual pads. Get their panties and all of these. You know what they are doing with those things? Enchanting their soul as a means of exchange in the realm of the spirit. So nothing goes for nothing. There is always an exchange. So if someone comes and tells you, I'm going to give you wealth, go do this, do that, do this, and you say nothing, that's just it. No way, there's something. You watch those films, Rattlesnake, what's the other one? Living in Bondage. You watch those movies, those old movies. They will tell you, when you get the money, don't do this, do this, don't do this. That's because wealth have spiritual undertone. So if you don't understand that there is a power that backs wealth, you will frustrate your life. Are you with me? There is a spiritual dimension to wealth. So David said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I will want for nothing. Now let me show you another evidence that there is a spiritual dimension to wealth, apart from Deuteronomy 8:18. Let me show you. First Chronicles chapter 3. No, not Chronicles. First Kings chapter 3. Quickly, everybody. 1 Kings chapter 3. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 Kings chapter 3. Are you there? Now, Solomon, okay, made an alliance. Now, read verse 2. And at that time, the people of Israel sacrificed their offerings at local places of worship for a temple honoring the name of God. Of the Lord, for a temple to honor the name of God has not been built. Now, verse 3, quickly, make it fast. So Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the decrees of the father David, except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burned incense at the local place of worship. Now let's read on. He now said, the most important of these places of worship was Gibeon. So the king went there and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. So there are sacrifices that becomes entry point to wealth. Now, I'll change what I just said. There are sacrifices that becomes entry point to you meeting custodian of wealth. People that carry wealth. That's why if you really want to go into the kind of yahoo, all these people that make money, the one that really makes real money, you must do blood. You must come before the altars of spirits. And they will come and ask you, what do you want? If it is money you want, they will give you this money. So Solomon, that night, Solomon went to Gibeon and offered how many burnt offering? 1,000, but not 100. Now that night, verse 5, let me show you. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream and God said, what do you want? Now most of these films, you have watched them. So the moment you do some things, you appear before the temple of the great Ori Miri Miri. And then they will ask you, what do you want? The gift of a man makes room for him and brings him before the seat where power is delivered. So Solomon understood this and went and offered sacrifice. So, but this is the deal breaker for me. And then Solomon said to God, verse 6, see the statement Solomon made. He said, Solomon replied, you showed faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you, and you have continued your faithful love to him today by giving him a son, ever say inheritance. Now good. Verse 7. He now said, now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. He now asks God, verse 8, and then said, and here am I in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great, numerous, they cannot be counted. Verse 9. He now said, give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern these great people? Don't move from this place. Stay here. Oh, Jesus, there is no time. Wealth is in people. Wealth is in what? Is in people. Listen, Nigerians, the reason we've not had it's well in governance is because most of these politicians are not leaders. They are exploiters. They can't run businesses. They can't run schools. They can't run anything. They want to use you to enrich themselves. That's why as long as you keep employing and engaging those kind of people in the seat of government, we will always remain poor and backward. Do you know why? Because wealth is in what? Is in people. So Solomon understood this. So that was the reason why after Solomon made this request, God gave him understanding and added wealth to it. You can't govern people and not be wealthy. It's not possible. Those of you that are doing trickery, it's not people you trick, it's not people you lie to. Brand Tracy says something, where there are people, there are money. But there is a spiritual undertone into getting them to part away with this what? With this money. Are you following me? I'm telling you the scientific nature of wealth. So that's the reason why you can govern people God's way and be what? Wealthy. Like in the days of the priest, the Bible says they would harvest all their crops and bring a percentage of it to who? The priest. So God now appeared and said, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice, and have not asked for three things. You know, these are the three major things earthly people ask for. These are the three major things people ask for. Number one, long life, wealth, and then the death of their enemies. And God said, because you have not asked for these things. Verse 12. He said, I will give you what you ask for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart, such as no one else has ever or will ever have. Now, verse 13. He now said, and I will also give you what you did not ask for, which is what? Riches and fame. So tell your neighbor, there is a spiritual dimension to riches and wealth. And to fame too. Most of you have not read about the Illuminati court. I did a study on the Illuminati court some years ago. And that's why I'm not surprised at a lot of things going on. You see, most of this fame that people garner, you think that they are just naturally generated. Some of this fame are spiritually generated. They are spiritually generated. That's why don't try to compare yourself with them. Comparing yourself with those your friends that are really, really wealthy is foolishness. There are three dimensions to wealth. So when you see someone that is very wealthy, ask yourself, which of these dimensions is this person operating on? For example, go and read the story of Aliko Dangote. Aliko Dangote became wealthy by inheritance. His entire family were into business. He himself was into business. Dan Tata gave him 500,000 some years ago and he started a business. And he was diligent in it. So you trace it. So nobody become wealthy by mistake. It's either you inherit it. Number two. Then two, consequence. You work for it. That one is consequence. So you want to be wealthy, for example, you start a business. And you start what? Nursing it. Following on the business principle, like people like Robert Kiyosaki, people like the Adenugas, some of these people, you can see where their wealth is coming from. Not that you have so much money and we are asking you where your money is coming from. You are telling me I'm into business, I'm into one. Let's know what it is. There are consequential wealth. Are you following me? And then the last one is entrustment. Look up kingdom citizen. That third one, that is the dimension of wealth that kingdom citizenship offers us into. It is not measured by cars. It is not measured by houses. It is entrustment. It is measured by people that have benefited from your life. That is the kind of wealth we have received. Doing good to people. Helping those that are in need. Scripture says, by doing that, you are storing for yourself riches in heaven. And when it is time, God will give you the inheritance. Are you with me? So that's why we are not running after the wealth that can be corrupted. I'll close with this verse. Turn your Bible to Revelation. Have you gained something tonight? The eyes of your understanding enlightened? Don't chase money. With all this, when are they talk since? Did you hear me talk about money? No. Look up. The least level of wealth is chasing money. People who chase money never get into real wealth. You don't chase money. You either chase governance rightly. You administrate justice over people, and as a return, they bring wealth to you. It's an inheritance. It's a spiritual dimension. Is it Revelation? Which of them? Revelation chapter 3. Let's start reading from verse 14. Believers, listen to this. Take time to study the spirituality of wealth. The Lord spoke to the church in Laodicea. Who is there with me? Revelation chapter 3. Now, in Laodicea. Now, this is the message from the one who is the Amen, faithful and a true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. Next verse, 15. He said, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Wait, don't move. Stay here. You see, a number of times we quote this verse of scripture, but we don't know what it means. But I'll tell you what it means tonight. Are you ready? You know, most especially we use it as prayer points for people to be hot, cold, and we use it as revival. He was talking about the rich. Next verse. He said, you say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. See, the highest level of lukewarmness is found among rich people that don't have spirituality and understanding of God's kingdom. Their wealth is their satisfaction. There is nothing to struggle for. Now that's what some of us want to go after. May God just bless me. We ask now. All this church say, well, they call everything go just. So you mean you're coming to church so that you can blow and be rich? God said you will neither be hot nor cold. Those are the people God wants to spit out of their mouth. He's talking about rich people. Because one of the easiest places to go into lukewarmness is to become rich and not rich in God. You saw the story of the rich man. He said, now I can eat and what? Make merry. Now wait. Stay here. Now go back to Luke chapter 12, verse 19. He said, you go back there, you are coming here again. See, the two verses of scripture, they are very, very together. They say the same thing. He said, I will sit back. You have enough stored. Now what? Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Now go to verse 21. He now said, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich. Did you see that? So you choose one. You choose wealth or what? relationship. But God told Solomon, he said, you chose well. You chose relationship. I'll give you wealth. So go back to Revelation. Sometimes you begin to experience prayerlessness when everything you need start coming. Especially if you don't prioritize your relationship with God. That's the truth. He said, I say I am what? Rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. He said, and you don't realize that you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, and you are naked. What a misnomer. I mean, look at the five term. God used to qualify people that said they are rich to self now. The truth is this. I told you there are three dimensions to wealth, isn't it? So when we are talking about this kind of wealth, we are not talking about the God kind of riches. That's why most times, look up Christians, let's leave the level of riches, let's stay in the level of wealth. God wants us to be wealthy. Not just being rich. He said, number one, you are what? You don't even realize that you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor. Now see what he now said you should do, verse 18. He now said, go buy. He says, so I advise you, buy gold from me. I mean, gold that has been purified by fire. He said, then you will be what? You will be rich. And also buy white garments from me, so you will not be so that you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and your ointment for your eyes, so that you'll be able to see. So look up. God was saying, get three things. Number one, buy gold. Number two, get white garments. Number three, ointment, the anointing, so that you can what? What was it that Solomon asked for? Understanding. So let me tell you, the richest people in God's stead, the richest people in God's stead are those who have spiritual understanding. And where does this spiritual understanding culminate? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Stand up on your feet. Give us 1 Timothy 6:6. He said, true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. It is spiritual understanding that helps you to regulate how much things you need. It's spiritual understanding. It's spiritual understanding. You see, some of you, you say, we come to church, we spend most of our time in church, we do all this thing, we go out for evangelism, it's because we don't have time. We don't have time. I mean, what's the excuse some people give for not coming to service? I have to go to work. After all, it's my work that pays my salary. I have to do my business. Listen to this. You don't understand God. You can work from now till the year ends and have nothing to show for. It's the truth. Now, the reason is because there is no ointment in your eyes. You are not seeing well. You don't even know. I mean, that's why Solomon said it. You know, this word God gives Solomon. Solomon can't get money. He can't foolish. Can't go marry 700 wives. I'll be 300. How many? 700 wives and 300 concubines. Someone said 1,000 burnt offering. I mean, that was the reason why he couldn't transfer the wealth to his generation. Because he had understanding, he was using it. But that's why when you begin to crave for wealth, you get to a point that you can't stop it. More. So Solomon couldn't stop it. And you will not blame him because he didn't have the Holy Spirit. So that's the reason why God is now changing the narrative in the New Testament. He said, now, you brought nothing to this world. You're not taking anything. So, but I like how he put it. Verse 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. and 11. 1 Timothy 6. 11. Okay, go back. Is it 8 now? 9, 8 or 9? It says so. Yes, 8. Now, see what he now said. And amplified, please. He now said, but if we have food and clothing, with this we shall be what? Satisfied. So define the limit of your satisfaction. Pastor, are you saying that I should just be okay that I have clothes and food? Yes, be okay with it. The moment you become satisfied, what you are telling God is that I have gotten to the end of myself. The rest that comes, I'm going to give them out. The reason why some of you are still poor is because your crave for wealth is like a bottomless pit. I'll show you a misery tonight. Your crave for wealth is a bottomless pit. So God already knows that there's nothing He can give. Know you now. There's nothing He can give to you that can satisfy you. Are you understanding this thing? Do you understand what we are saying, sir? So God already knows that with the kind of craving you have, even if He gives you heaven and earth, you will still not be satisfied. So He doesn't waste His resources. He gives it to those who are contented and who will start distributing it. Because the direction of His wealth is distribution. So that's the foolishness of kingdom life. That's how it is. That's how it is. So if I'm asking God for more cars, it's not so I can park in my garage. If I'm asking God for bigger houses, and the truth is this, I'm not even going to ask Him for more cars. I'm not going to ask Him for bigger houses, because there is a dimension of the kingdom wealth called entrustment. Now, that dimension of kingdom wealth called entrustment increases as your distribution channels increases. So God increases your wealth by your capacity to dispense. That's how it works. That's how it works. So that's why I told Abraham, you will be great. And everyone that blesses you will be what? Blessed. You know what God was trying to do with Abraham? He said, you have become a generational distributor. I pray for you tonight that your heart is renewed. You understand God's principle for wealth. You understand God's idea of work. You understand God's system of increase. I pray for you tonight that you begin to know how the things of the Spirit works when it comes to wealth. I pray for you tonight the eyes of your understanding is enlightened. I pray for you tonight you do not struggle to understand the dimensions of wealth. There is a spiritual undertone to increase and plenty. I pray that by the grace and mercy of God, you come into those dimensions. I decree that your heart is renewed, your mind is renewed. I decree that beginning from tonight, contentment is welling up on your inside. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Now we're going to be coming out to take the communion. It's going to be our communion of contentment. As you partake of the communion, the Spirit of God will breathe satisfaction into your heart. He will bring rest into your heart.
We hope that you have been instructed and edified by the teaching from God's servant, Pastor Stephen Enoku. If you have need for more edifying teachings, you can download them from our ministry's website, www.kdclovemercy.com/sermons. For counseling, feedbacks, and should you want to support the ministry or be a partner to what the Lord is doing through us, send us a mail through kdclovemercychurch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep taking charge.